I got a story about the Four Tops I can tell later on. But right now, let's bring in Jeff Ehrman, Inside Maryland Sports. Jeff, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
You know, it's interesting, the Locksley era at Maryland. This time last year, we're hearing an awful lot of positive things calling out of Locksley. We're right on the verge. We're turning the corner. I'm just not hearing that same kind of confidence out of him thus far this year. How about you?
I think he's still confident given the circumstances, you know, given the rough season that they're coming off of, the fact that people are picking them to finish near the bottom of the Big Ten, and they don't, you know, they have fewer household names on the roster this year than they've had in a while. So when you factor all that in, you know, he said that he thinks other teams are going to find out the hard way, or I think he said mess around and find out that they have a lot more talent than people think. But as we learned, you know, last year, as we saw last year, at least, like you said, they were confident going into the season, lots of bravado, and ended up winning one Big Ten game. So yeah, that, you know.
One huge positive we can talk about going into the season, though, is they got probably the best recruit in the whole state last year, that quarterback Malik Washington out of Archbishop Spalding. Are they going to start him right away?
I think there's a real chance. I'd peg him as the favorite right now. He's competing with Justin Martin, a transfer from UCLA. But, you know, by all accounts, Malik Washington is every bit as good as advertised. You know, he's the number five quarterback in the country last year in the senior class. That's the highest rated recruit Maryland's ever had. So while it's very difficult to start a true freshman on the Big Ten level, you know, he's that rare guy who might be able to pull it off. So, you know, I think he's got the best shot.
How important was it for Locksley and his crew to sign a player of that caliber, considering it's northern Anne Arundel County, Baltimore area? I mean, you put all that stuff together, that was pretty important for them, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's huge. You know, the age-old story of Maryland football is that those kind of guys get away and go to Alabama, Ohio State, wherever else, far more often than they stay and go to Maryland. So when you can get a guy like that, not only of that profile, but also who's a quarterback, you know, which is a position that other recruits tend to follow and tends to boost your overall recruiting, you know, that's huge. Now, obviously, there's no guarantee. Some of the higher-rated quarterbacks they've gotten in the past didn't work out. But, you know, for Maryland, anytime you can keep a guy like that at home, and obviously they have another one in the 2026 class from Baltimore, Zion Ealy from St. Francis Academy.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the number one recruit now in the 24/7 sports composite rankings.
Well, if you want to recruit players from Baltimore, chances are you should get some office space at St. Francis. You know, regardless of sport, they're pretty good. But I'm looking at the schedule. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's right. Yeah, they are one of the preeminent powerhouses in high school football in Maryland for a long time, wasn't really getting any players or was getting some of kind of the second or third tier recruits there. But recently They've been getting more of the top guys.
Got to be competitive in that aspect. I'm looking at the schedule. First three games, Florida Atlantic, Northern Illinois, and then Towson. I don't think that's by mistake. I think they're really looking to get this team going with some confidence here.
Yeah, it is one of the softer non-conference schedules they've had. You know, they've been typically one of the top overall hardest, most difficult schedules in the Big Ten, just because they've played, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State every year before the divisions evaporated. So, you know, this year they actually have supposedly the easiest overall schedule in the Big Ten, which has never happened before. So, you know, partly because of that non-conference, and then also because they don't play Ohio State or Penn State or Oregon. So, you know, that gives them a shot, I think, this year to kind of bridge this gap with all these young players.
When the move to the Big Ten was announced over a decade ago, I remember one of the first thoughts I had about it was how tough it's going to be in football. And as I continued to think about it, I said maybe their model in the Big Ten should be Indiana. You know, be really good in basketball, do what you can in football. But that got sent on its ear last year when Indiana had the big year in football. That came out of nowhere. They brought in a hotshot coach and brought in a lot of transfers. That's kind of the way you do things now, though, right? It's quite possible to turn a whole program on a dime right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, to be in Indiana and do that, you know, every single thing has to fall right. You have to hire, as they did, the right coach, a great coach who also brought like 15 of his own players with him, and everything. The schedule was soft, so it fell right. But you look at other, you know, Arizona State made the playoff last year. So it can be done, especially now, you know, if all this legislation actually works out in the favor of, you know, balance, competitive balance, where schools can't just throw millions and millions in NIL, and you're leveling the playing field. So, you know, Indiana should be the hope for Maryland, what they did last year.
I'm glad you mentioned that just now, too, because I wanted to make sure we touched upon that. NIL has changed everything. And my question has been, what's it becoming now in college? Is it a minor league now? I don't think any of this was intended. The reason for NIL was very good in the beginning. These players deserve to have some money in their pockets. But now you got Texas A&M spending $30 million on their football recruiting class. That's not what this was intended to do, is it?
No, and there, you know, that's starting. The legislation is starting to materialize. There's still a lot of challenges because you know, so much of the power now is in the athletes, on the athlete side of the equation. Anytime you try to limit or make rules about anything, you know, the odds of getting sued and either losing or not having the willpower to go through another legal battle that you'll probably lose, kind of, you know, that makes it hard to put any guardrails on it. But I will say now they're at least taking some baby steps toward that, where it's, you know, it's still professionalized, like you said, but at least it maybe won't be a situation where, you know, it's just anarchy, basically.
Big Ten wide now as we head into football season. Most of the talk is Ohio State. Are you leaning that way?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Penn State's pretty trendy this year, but, you know, I have my doubts about James Franklin winning enough big games to win a national championship because it just hasn't happened. So, yeah, I think you got to go with Ohio State till proven otherwise.
And Michigan, long a bastion of stability, they continue to be in flux, you know, and it appears to me, at least to me, that Ohio State's inched ahead of them in football. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. I mean, it's kind of back and forth up there at the top, but when it comes to resources, branding, recruiting, even as great as Michigan is, it's still very hard to compete with Ohio State or Texas has in terms of resources. I think Ohio State has it. Obviously, Jim Harbaugh leaving Michigan was the biggest part of that, though.
One last thing before we let you go. I don't want to blindside you, but I saw a report over the weekend that North Carolina is looking at the SEC. That would change an awful lot of things, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be wild. I mean, that has been rumored here a little bit for the past, I don't know, a few weeks or months. I always pegged them as a Big Ten kind of addition. You know, when the Big Ten came and got Maryland, they wanted North Carolina also. I think Georgia Tech also. So, you know, I think academically to me, and just in terms of profile, North Carolina feels far more like a Big Ten school where you have mostly elite academic schools. But, you know, they are in the South. SEC is where, you know, if you want to become a big-time college football player, which, you know, they're traditionally a basketball school, but now are investing all this with Bill Belichick, it kind of makes sense.
Interesting stuff. Jeff Ehrman, I appreciate your time. It's the first time I've ever spoken with you. I can see why they book you as a guest on here. Good stuff.
Thank you, Bruce. I really appreciate that.
All right, well, we'll talk to you again real soon. Jeff Ehrman, Inside Maryland Sports. All right, coming up next, we've taken a few, but I'm going to open up the phones next segment. I want to talk to you guys. I want to talk to you. Well, we can talk about the Terps. I also want to talk to you about the Orioles. Have your expectations changed? Well, of course they have. But has it changed the way you watch games? And the Ravens opening up Thursday night. You going to be watching? Let me hear.